Well, good morning to you all, and it's great to see you. This morning, we will be continuing our theme of lament, but we're also remembering that today is, as some folk were talking about before the intimations started rolling, that this is All Souls Day or All Saints Day, when we remember all those who are saints. Now, that's not just the ones that have the title saint, all the believers Paul called saints. So we're thinking of all the believers who have gone before us, all those who have praised God, all those who have listened to him, all those who have been saved through coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Even if they died before he'd been on earth, God still can attribute that salvation. Psalm 100 is a reminder of how people are to praise God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We've come to praise. We've come to give thanks. We've come, and I don't know how your heart is feeling this morning, but we have come to meet with God, and we have come to listen for his voice. Will you not listen? Will you not listen? We've asked that of other people round about us, haven't we? Why will they not listen to the truth about Jesus? Why will they not hear? We know about his love and his peace and his hope and his joy, and we want them to know too. Why won't you listen? But then we don't always listen to God either, do we? When he asks us to do something, or he speaks to our soul, sometimes we are deaf to him too. Let's listen this morning for what he wants to say to each one of us. Let's pray together. Lord God, we give you thanks. For you are good. We're not able to enter your courts. We're not able to enter the church this morning, but we are able to enter into your presence, to praise your name, to give you thanks, and to listen for your voice. We meet with you just as did the patriarchs. We think of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We think of Moses. We think too of the prophets and all those who spoke your truth to some who would not listen. And most of all, we think about Jesus, who lived and moved and breathed, who loved, who spoke, and who was not always heard. Lord God, as we think of Jesus, we give thanks for the love, the joy, and the peace, and the hope we know through him. Thank you for the salvation we know through Jesus Christ. We thank you that Jesus came to live among us, and we can be honest before him. We pray that you would guide us in our daily living. We pray that you would guide us as we worship. We give thanks that you are our rock, our refuge. You are the one we turn to in good times and bad. You're a source of strength. And oh, how we need that strength in this time. So, Lord God, we gather as a motley group of your saints to worship you, to praise your name, to thank you, and to listen. May we hear you speaking. May we be inspired by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a moment, we're going to sing a praise song, God Will Make a Way, where there seems to be no way. But before we sing it, let's listen to Michael Carr, who wrote it. And he's going to explain why this song was written.
When I wrote the song, God Will Make a Way, I wrote it for a tragic situation in my family. My wife's sister and husband had been traveling with their family on the way to Colorado to have a ski vacation when their van was broadsided by an 18-wheeler. All four of the boys were thrown out of the van, and three were seriously injured, but Jeremy, the oldest, was killed instantly. And when I heard that news, I can't tell you how helpless I felt. All the words that came to my mind to say to Susan and Craig that day seemed to fall short of what I really wanted to say. All the scriptures that came to my mind didn't seem to be the right ones. And I had to get on the airplane the next day. And I was reading in my Bible from Isaiah chapter 43, how God will make a way, a roadway in the wilderness and a river in the desert, Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. It says, don't remember the former things. Behold, I will do something new, and now it will spring forth. I will make a roadway in the wilderness and a river in the desert. And as I was sitting on the plane that day, I just asked the Lord to give me something to say to them at the funeral, something that would bring them hope in a hopeless situation. And in that moment, God gave me a simple song, which has become one of my most well-known songs. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He'll make a way for me. And I know that that one phrase is a phrase that God gave me to say to Susan and Craig that day. He works in ways we cannot see. And maybe you need to hear that same phrase today. This song was written in a desperate situation, but it's not a song of desperation. It's a song of declaration. God will make a way, and he'll make a way for you today. No matter what you're going through, you just have to believe that even though your bank account may not look good, the doctor's report may not sound good, God is still working in ways that you cannot see, and he is able to make a way where there seems to be no way.
So, with apologies to Don Moen, who I renamed Michael Card. Michael Card, in fact, wrote the first track that we listened to, and it was Don Moen who wrote the second. You should write all these things down and not rely on your memory. That's what I've learned. However, I hope that those words have encouraged you this morning, because I know that quite a few of us are finding this part of what we're going through really challenging and really difficult just now, because the winter's coming on, the days are shorter, we don't see any end to this. At the beginning of lockdown, well, there was an element of adrenaline, but that seems to have gone just now. And some of us are having to dig really deep to get through this time. And some of you will have watched a Nikki Gumbel clip that was trying to encourage us that the next 6 months are not going to be easy, but God will make a way for us and God will show us how to get through. And we all need to know that. And I hope that you'll be encouraged this morning to realize that and just be honest with God. Oh, listen to him, but also just tell him how you're feeling. Because that's what we've been discovering through our look at lamenting. It is just telling God how we feel. There's a slide to go up just now, which reflects on four of the Psalms we have looked at. So whoever's got that, thank you. All right, that's great, Tom. Thank you. These were just four of the phrases that I picked out of the Psalms we've looked at just now. How long will you hide your face from me? From Psalm 13. God, I can't see you at the moment. Where are you? And that's really maybe how some of us are feeling. When God doesn't seem to be near, he seems to be absent. Then from Psalm 44, you know, all our struggles came about, although we'd not forgotten you. Rise up and help us. Come on, God. We've been doing our best here to worship you. Please help us because we're struggling at the moment. That's a real cry, isn't it? And then in Psalm 10, you know, that sense of feeling helpless and hopeless and wanting to be rescued. Lift up your hand. Don't forget the helpless. It's not just us. It's everybody, God. Please lift us up. Please help us. That cry from that psalm. And then in Psalm 53, that looking around at the world, and the psalmist said, there is no one who does good, not even one, but still that sense of longing for God to act and God to speak and people to listen. So the psalmist, or the psalmists, poured out how they were feeling to God, and we're allowed to do that too. And Morag's going to read for us just now a lament written for this time.
How shall we praise you, Lord God, when we are locked down, when the doors to your house are closed and your people cannot assemble, when those desperately needing money and work can't even wait in the marketplace, when we have to avoid people in the street and queue for shops, maintaining safe distance, when we can only communicate by phone or screen or digital messages or just waving through a window, when we can't meet parents and children, grandparents and grandchildren, or other family members and friends, when we can't touch them in their flesh and blood, how shall we praise you? How can I praise you, Lord? Are you plaguing us with this virus to punish us because we've all done wrong, or thought wrongly, or felt wrongly, or just been wrong? If so, why do only some die? Are you trying to teach us a lesson? If so, why is it so hard to learn? And how are we to find the answer when we do not even know the question? Or are you still the same loving God coming to us in our sufferings and opening up the way to new life in Jesus through the suffering and questions? Lord, I'll try to praise you, even if it's through gritted teeth. I will try to remember that you've created all things, and even this virus is part of your creation. I will try not to hate it. I will try to keep myself and others safe. I will pray for them and seek to help in whatever way I can. Lord, when I cannot pray or worship, help me be aware of all your people and your saints and angels hovering around me, lifting me up. When I feel alone, let me feel you near me. Let me hear you say, peace be with you.
Thank you, Morag. And I'm sure some of that echoed some of our thoughts and feelings just now. The cry from the heart. It's a cry from the heart we're going to look at this morning. It's from Psalm 25, or it is Psalm 25. And Sheila is going to read that for us now.
In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles.
Thank you, Sheila. So there we have Psalm 25, and I know it's quite long, but I think it was good to read all of it rather than just to pick out a selection of the verses. We get that whole picture, don't we, of that praising God even through the very difficult times. I thought it'd be interesting to have a look to see what we discover about the psalmist. So that's what I did. And I discovered that the psalmist trusts God. Well, that's why he's talking to God. That's why he's writing to God, because he believes God is there and he trusts him, even though he's going through a difficult time. And we know he's going through a difficult time because he tells us that he has enemies. So something's going on round about, some form of battle, some form of opposition. He's trusting God, but he's still going through a difficult time. And his longing is to know God's leading in his life. That comes in verses 4 and 5, that God will see him through this difficult time. And he's not feeling absolutely in the pits, although there's all this stuff going on round about him that is really threatening to overwhelm him, because his hope is in God. He hasn't given up on that hope. But there's a what I think is a critical verse in this psalm. It's when David, the psalmist, talks about the sins of his youth and his rebellious ways. Now, David knew that in his past he had gone against God. He had disobeyed God's rules. And I don't know if he was at this point referring to his adultery with Bathsheba. It might have been that. But it might have been things that David did wrong that we don't even know about, that didn't make the headlines, that didn't make the narrative, because we all sin and fall short of what God asks of us. And sometimes we call them minor sins, don't we? They're still sin, but they don't make the press. Everybody doesn't get to know about it. David's looking back over his earlier life and seeing things that he knew he had done wrong that were against God's ways. And I know if I look back in my life, and I'm pretty certain that if you look back in yours, you can see the same. In the book of Job, in chapter 13, Job wondered if his suffering was the result of some past disobedience to God. He wrestled with that. He examined his life. This is much as what David is doing in this psalm. Are the troubles round about caused by something that he had done wrong in his life? And I guess that's what suffering does to us, doesn't it? Sometimes we ask, why? Or why me? Or why is this happening? Now, at the moment, I think there are probably people in the world who are wondering, why is God allowing this to happen in our world? What's he trying to teach us? Is this punishment from God? We'll explore that a wee bit later. David looked at what he was going through. He was lonely. He was afflicted. He was troubled. He was in anguish. He was in distress. And he was facing danger. Was it because of his own sin? Oh, we reap what we sow. How often have you thought that? Or even said it? Somebody got what they deserved? They got their comeuppance? David was wondering if that was what was happening in his life. I filled in a questionnaire this week. It took quite a while, but one of the questions was, what do you think God is teaching through this pandemic? No, a lightweight question. What do you think God is teaching through the struggles, through the suffering, through the illness, through the stress, through the isolation, through the fear, through the economic struggles? What is God teaching us? Because I believe that God wants us to learn through this rather than this being a punishment from God. God is maybe asking that we change, that society changes through what we're experiencing just now. We're learning how important community is. We're learning how important other people are. Maybe we've taken them for granted in the past. Now, I don't know what God is really teaching us through this time, but I do think we should be asking the question, God, what do you want us to learn through this? David knew that although he was thinking that what he was enduring was a punishment from God, or could be a punishment from God, that God was loving and merciful and gracious. And God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. God's mercy and God's grace are so often what we see. God's grace still amazes me. I hope God's grace amazes you. Let's reflect on that as we sing. David knew God's grace, love, and mercy in his life, and his heart believed that he had done wrong, but God forgave rather than punished. David saw God as the one who saves, the one who brings salvation. He saw God as being loving and merciful. God is good and upright, he said. God teaches, God guides. David knew that God desired relationship with his people, a relationship that was built on love. God's love for each person and their love in response. But that love requires a willingness then to listen for God's voice and to follow God's teaching and God's guidance and God's instruction. God knows about our sin. He knows about our waywardness. He knows we get things wrong. But he asks us not to brush it away, not to sweep it under the carpet, but to bring it to him and be honest before him. And that, I think, is what David was trying to do in this psalm. He was reflecting on his life to see where he had fallen short of God's ways. The psalm is really a prayer. It's God being asked to be merciful, to act out of love towards his wayward servant. And David's desire is that he won't fall into the ways of sin or rebelliousness again. He trusts God will help him to see the right way through. And as I was reflecting on that, I was thinking, isn't that the message right through Scripture? In 1 John 1:9, we read these words: "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." I guess the key word there is if. We need to do it. We need to admit, we need to confess if we're going to know that forgiveness. There's no point pretending before God. I was thinking also of Jesus having that poor woman who was caught in adultery. Right, that was wrong. She shouldn't have been engaged in that activity. But she was brought to him and everybody looking at her. And Jesus knew that she'd done wrong. She knew she'd done wrong. She wasn't denying it. She was admitting it. And what did he say to her? "Go and sin no more." Right, you've been forgiven. I forgive you. But here's my guidance. Don't do that again. Find God's path and walk on the right path. David knew what sin was. David knew he'd been caught in sin in his younger life, and there would be sins going on in his everyday life as he grew older. But he didn't want to follow that path, the path of sin. He didn't want to be tempted. He didn't want to give in to what he knew was against God's will. I was thinking that David was wanting to live the way that Jesus instructed his followers to live as light in the world. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's how David wanted to live. And I hope it's how we want to live. I hope we want to know that God doesn't punish us as our sins deserve. He asks us to come to him, to confess our sin, to know his forgiveness, and then to listen to his voice, that we would walk on the right path. God's plan has always been relationship with his people. God is gracious and compassionate. He is slow to anger. He is loving and forgiving. So if you've been struggling recently and wondering, is God punishing me? Go back to this psalm and have another look at it. And maybe it will be that you will see things in your life that are wrong. That's all God wants you to do. He wants you to see and to confess and to then leave that in the past. None of us want to let God down, but we all do. We all fall short of his ways. But we turn back to him in those times and confess. And we discover his mercy and his forgiveness. And we remember that Jesus took the punishment for our sin so that we don't have to. we look to Jesus and give thanks. Yes, we face suffering in this world, but that suffering is more to do with the brokenness of the world than punishment from God. We're going through a really tough time in the world, wherever we are in it. Some people are finding life much harder than others. As we come to our time of prayer, can we be honest with God? Can we pour out the pain and the suffering in the world? Can we pour out how we're feeling within ourselves? And not think about who else is in the prayer group with us, but just pray to God who is listening. And as he listens, he will speak to us. We need to listen to him too. Let's spend some time in prayer. Well, we're back. We had the joy of hearing some birds in the background through our prayer time. It was lovely. It was just the beauty of God's creation as we prayed together. I hope that something today has touched your spirit, that God has spoken to you in some way. And I pray that he will continue to speak through this coming week and that you will listen to his voice. It might be a voice that comes through scripture. It might be a voice that comes through something else that you read or through a person that you meet or something that happens. But keep watching and listening, because God is at work and he is speaking to us. But we need to have the ears to listen. Next week, we will be meeting online again. Can I remind you that we will be meeting slightly earlier because next Sunday is our remembrance time, or there will be an act of remembrance at 11 o'clock. So if you can please be in your place at 10 to 11, that would allow John to begin worshipping and we'll be able to have the act of remembrance at 11 o'clock. For those of you who are worshipping in the church building on Wednesday mornings, on the 11th of November, we will also be having an act of remembrance at 11 o'clock on the 11th of the 11th, because we will be in the church building at that time. You'll be remembering that tonight, Martin Patterson is speaking at Cathcart Trinity. If you are wanting to go along, not sure if there are spaces, but phone the number for Trinity and you can find out if there is a space if you're wanting to take part. At the close of the service, remember that we can have a wee chat together and have a coffee. So make your coffee and then come back to the screen and we can catch up with one another's news and hopefully encourage one another. And can I say to anybody who is not feeling particularly encouraged just now, please speak to somebody if you're going through a difficult time or a dark time. You know, talk to a friend, contact a minister, contact somebody. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't carry it by yourself, because there are others who will journey with you. And there are times when we need to carry one another. So that's just a wee reminder. Don't carry any downness by yourself. Let somebody walk with you, and certainly let Jesus walk with you. Keep talking to him about how you're feeling. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who forgives us when we seek his forgiveness and we set aside those things that we've done that are wrong and we try not to do them again. We have a God who is gracious and loving and merciful. Our hope is in him. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, and our final praise reminds us of that. Jesus Christ, my living hope. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. My hope, Lord, is in you. The words of David, and I hope our words too. Let's bless one another in our final prayer. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.